This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Good morning. Good day, good afternoon, whatever. How's everybody doing? How's everybody's weekend? I hope things are going swimmingly or snowingly. LOL. This is episode number 90 with Amy Engerbretson. I had a really good time chatting with Amy at OR. She's rad. I mean, you could probably figure that out already. But she's awesome, and I think this episode kind of gives you an idea of what she's like kind of behind the Instagram posts. Because Instagram, like, you kind of put forward, like, the happy side, the shiny side, and we kind of talk about that. We talk about a bunch of shit, and it was great. Glad to get the opportunity to chat with her, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Couple things. I just got back from New Hampshire from Last Skier Standing. So if you're not familiar, Last Skier Standing is an event put on by Ski the Whites where you basically do one uphill lap of Black Mountain and one down, obviously, every hour on the hour until you can't anymore. Probably takes like 35 to 40 minutes to do a lap if you're used to doing that kind of thing. At least at a pace that you could sustain over and over. I went out, I did a few. My intention was to do a couple, but this is normally not my jam. And I did six laps, and I drove home the next day. And I mean, this was not my intention was not to murder myself and go forever. However, everyone else there had the intention of, just going full throttle, for as long as possible. It ended up going all through the day, all through the night. I mean, it's insane. Like, and they didn't stop. Like, there's no like hour long reset. Like, when you get back, you get to take a 10, 15, 20 minute break if you're real fast, stuff some food in your face, and then put your stuff back on, change a layer if you need to, and right back to the start line at the top of the hour. It doesn't matter whether it's night, like the course changed slightly at night, they lit it up. And yeah, I'm still in awe. And this was year one. This is like the first year that Drummond's ever done this event, and it came out, I think, phenomenally. The winner had 34 laps, 34 hours straight. R. Chalmers took it. I'm still amazed, like, that 34 hours in ski boots, on skis. Kanoa King did 33. They were like the final two battling it out. And then there was a ton of absolute savages that did, more than that, like it, or that did, 24 plus, which is insane. I'm shocked. Such a great event. Definitely check it out. Check out Ski the Whites page. This isn't an ad, but check out Drummond and Ski the Whites for more events like this. I think they're going to do another one next year. That's the plan. They always do Friday Night Lights. Get involved. I mean, it's truly what it should be about. It's like it's a community event. So it's awesome, if I didn't say that enough. This episode is sponsored by a couple people. First, sponsored by Soutwatch Hemp. Soutwatch has been a sponsor of ours for a long time, relative to the show, and they make some of the best products that you can get in the CBD world. Sav is my favorite. You rub it on, feels awesome, smells great. I was about to say it tastes great, but I'm sure it tastes great, but I wouldn't recommend eating it. I just rub it on whatever sore, and it works great. I mean, it definitely helps with inflammation. It makes me feel better overall. They also have tinctures at different levels, different price points, different concentrates. They also have soft gels. Soft gels are great if you're good at taking supplements. I'm not a great supplement taker, but it's been great for me. You can learn more about Sawatch's products at www.sawatch.co or on Instagram at sawatch_hemp. So check those guys out. They've been super supportive of the show. You can use promo code out of bounds to save 15% on your purchase. And obviously let them know that we sent you. I would highly recommend at least trying it once. I think for people that aren't active CBD users, the salve is my favorite, but, do you? Cayenne's a better smelling one to me. Lavender's cool too if you're into that kind of thing, but the cayenne one is dope. We also have a giveaway coming this week with Fubuki Boots. If you don't know what Fubuki Boots are, you should check them out. Go to Fubuki Boots on Instagram. It's Fubuki Boots. If you've seen like Julian Carr wearing those ridiculous yellow boots in Japan, or T Pratt, or like anybody like that just wandering around in these neon colored boots, they're very similar to Fubuki boots. Fubuki is basically an over engineered version of these boots, and we'll be giving a pair away this week or next week. I haven't really decided yet. So be sure to check out their page. Fubuki, if you were wondering, means snowstorm. So it's a pretty appropriate name. These things are rad. They come in a bunch of different colors. Just go to FubukiBoots.com. You can shop and check them out. We don't have a promo code with them. We're just doing the one episode for now. We'll see how it goes. But their stuff is rad. I'm excited to get in a pair. And I'm basically going to live in them, I think, for the next... until it gets too hot where I can't anymore. So check them out. And again, be sure to get involved in the giveaway if you can. We're actually doing three giveaways in the next couple of weeks. We're doing one today with Drink Tanks, one with Fubuki, and one with Sawatch Hemp. I'm sure we'll be doing more in the coming weeks, but as the spring progresses, I think it's probably a good idea to do some giveaways, and I'm sure nobody's going to argue with me because you get free stuff. If you have the time, leave us a review on the Instagram, or on the Instagram, on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars is my favorite. And let us know why you like the show. You can follow us on Instagram at Out of Podcast and follow along everywhere else. If you can, tweet us, DM me, whatever. Shoot me an email. If you have questions about the show, comments, ways that we can make it better, let me know. This is the longest ad read or longest intro I've done in a little while, so I apologize, kind of. I'm sure you guys know where the skip button is and are fully capable of using that if that's what you need to do. However, this is all good info. Without further ado, here is episode number 90 with Amy Angerbretson at Amy Ski on Instagram. I hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks. Bye. Well, I guess we'll start by... who are you? Like tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. My name is Amy Ingerbretson and I'm a professional big mountain skier.
Cool.
I grew up in Lake Tahoe, California.
Sick.
Specifically Truckee. And now I spend my life skiing and shooting photos and making videos and trying to share that stoke with all the other people so they get excited to go out and ski and explore.
How's that been? How long have you been a professional skier?
Gosh, so I went to college. I actually kind of went away from skiing when I was a kid. My dad was a professional skier when I was growing up, and he then became a ski photographer and filmer. But right about, the age 12, 13, when racing kind of started getting intense, I was actually super into dance, and I kind of gave up ski racing to pursue ballet. And so I was a dancer for a long time, and I still always skied, but in a super casual, fun way. And went to college for dance. And then 6 months before graduating college, I called my dad and I was gosh, I really, I miss the mountains. I miss skiing. What if I move home and try to get sponsored and compete a little? And so that was when I was 22.
Yeah.
And I just turned 32 a couple days ago. So, I would say that my actual ski career has been functioning for about 8 years now, and I feel that's about 7 years longer than I thought it would work. I always kind of joke that, my ski career has gone so much better and been so much more successful than I ever thought it would be. And it's not for lack of work. I've definitely worked like super hard for it, and I definitely have approached it as a business, as a career. I look at myself as a skier, as a brand that I manage for sure. Yeah. Like I try to just be super on point and I hustle super hard for sure. But I still kind of went into my ski career knowing that it was going to be short. It probably wasn't going to work.
Right.
It's probably going to fail. So yeah, it's kind of funny. I have some like career aspirations outside of skiing, and it's like, well, my ski career is going so well, I don't know if I'm gonna have time to get to those.
I think that's a good thing though, right?
Yeah,
like, I
mean,
you can't
totally
complain. Like that's what a lot of people want. Talk a little bit about what it means to be a pro skier and like the stuff that people don't see, I guess, because everybody thinks, like, I talked about this yesterday, and like it seems like everybody thinks that being a pro skier is just like pow days and like sun and fun and like you get to travel and see all the places. But like, talk a little bit more about the work, I guess, that goes into it.
Yeah. Well, I want to preface it with saying that like I do ski a lot.
There are those
days. I ski a lot. I get to ski a lot of really cool places. I travel and I really do, you know, kind of the reason for me, if I talk about why I wanted to be a professional skier, it was so I could ski in these places that I wouldn't really have the means or the access to otherwise, you know. I don't come from a life where regular heli skiing and cat skiing would have been an option for me. So, you know, I think watching my dad ski around the world, I was like, well, I could just be a professional and then I get to do all these things. But I think what people don't always understand is that, like, I ski a lot and I get a lot of skiing in on, like, the average days and, like, the shitty days. But the good days, no, I'm not skiing.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a camera guy or a photographer, or I'm hiking, or I'm turning. I'm doing skiing a line one turn at a time. And like there are those times when you're filming, you know, you get to ski more and you have, you know, actually these kind of iconic ski experiences that you kind of envision professional skiers happening. But that's like 1% of the time. Most of the time you're up early, the light sucks, the snow's different, the dynamics of the team are weird, you know, there's a lot of communication issues that can happen when you're out shooting, and so like actually on the good ski days, like I'm not skiing that much, and you know, but what I enjoy about it is like I feel like it's my job as a professional skier not to just ski. Like that's not my job, that would be my hobby. My job as a professional skier is capturing content, capturing media, whether it's photos or making a film part and creating something to share with people, to share that experience and inspire them to go do it for themselves or whatever level they're at, kind of elevate that. And so I think that the creative process and the work side of it when we're in the field, I actually love. Like a lot of athletes hate shooting photos. I love it. I love how hard it is. Like, it is not easy. Like, getting a sick photo, getting a photo on a cover of a magazine is so hard. And it's like, you shoot thousands of photos, thousands of good photos that, like, you think are epic to get, like, one photo in a magazine or in an ad or somewhere cool. And so it's like that, it's a creative process, and there's a lot of communication and group dynamics go into it. And so, like, for me, like the fact that it's so hard, I think, is why I like it a lot, you know? And I love when I get to film too, because you get to ski more turns at a time when you film. So that's awesome. But, and then there's, you know, there's a lot of office time, which I don't think people realize. Like I don't, like a lot of athletes in my field, I don't have an agent or a manager or a PR team.
Yeah.
I have myself. And so I spend a lot of time communicating with sponsors, planning trips. I do a lot of producing of my own trips. Like rarely does anyone like come to me and like invite me to go do something cool. It's more like, oh, I think this would be a good idea, and this is the story, and this is who should go, and this is where we can find the money, and this is how I'm going to pitch it to the location. And so, and I try to do everything, like my philosophy in life is to make it easy for people to say yes.
Yeah.
So like when I'm putting together a proposal, I send everything like budgets in Excel, you know, full like pitches and everything. Like I do a lot in like spreadsheets and stuff, which people would think like, oh, professional skiers never look at a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And like, that's so not the case. Cause if I send a brand an email that just says like, hey, I've got this sick idea, give me $10,000. Like then they have to go. And so if I send them like a fully sussed out proposal with a line by line budget, and then they can just take that and forward it to their boss, say yes or no, hopefully yes. And then that like makes it easier. But I even with like my social media requirements at this point, I have a running spreadsheet that just like keeps track of all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more like emailing, coordinating, producing, you know, managing my own contracts and making those decisions that like definitely a lot of people, so I don't have like a secondary job, which is insane. Yeah. I never thought I would say that. Cause definitely in the beginning of my career, I had a million second jobs.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how much time I spend in the summer just getting all my ducks in a row and making sure that everything's lined up and then working towards next season.
Right. Yeah, no, that, I mean, the organizational process of it has to be crazy for you. And like for a lot of people, I think they just don't see that. And like, that makes the difference a lot of times between somebody who can make it their career and can't make it their career.
Right.
Like just trying to figure it all out, because there is so much communication that has to be had between a sponsor and an athlete, or like, you know, the upper management and all that and all this stuff. There's just so many levels it's you don't see from the outside.
I mean, even with social media posts these days, like I'm just doing this social media partnership with Bank of the West, through Protect Our Winners. It's really cool. They're the first US-based bank to completely 100% divest from fossil fuels.
Awesome.
But like for one post, it's like literally been like 30 emails by the time you get like the caption right and all the stuff they want you to say and they schedule. Like, it's crazy. For one social media post, it's like if I added up all the emails, I think it would have been 30 emails for one post. And like, nobody would guess that. They think you're just like, you know, throwing stuff up on the gram or whatever. Yeah, which
that's
is
for
cool.
sure that's what I do. Like, that's like
used to be, but now that you know that's become part of the job now. It's but I think like the difference is I really like the work part of being a professional skier. If I just loved to just ski, I wouldn't be an effective professional skier. Like, I love the production part of it. I love the dynamics of working with brands. I also work a lot with my brands on product.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time, you know, helping them design and test and brainstorm and do all that stuff. And, you know, I think all those things are like obviously I love to ski, but like the work part of it, creating something to share with people is really like what I think is the coolest part of my job.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean,
and the heli ski.
It's gotta be like, it's gotta be way different now, like over the past couple of years dealing with the social media aspect of it because of how it's grown.
Yeah.
Are you still, do you still enjoy that part of it because it is immediately connecting with your fan base, or is it like, are you like kind of jaded by it now? Like, because it is,
I don't
like
think
you
I've
said,
ever liked the social media part of it. Okay. Like I also just think I get really frustrated because I think especially with women, social media rewards, aspects of being a female athlete that like I don't respect or attain to, like sexualization and things like that. And the app just does, it rewards models and people come to you and they look at you like you're an influencer or a model. Like, they don't see you as like an athlete and having a range of influence that's bigger than like a screen. And I have a social media presence because of who I am as an athlete. I'm not who I am as an athlete because of my social media presence. And so I've never really liked it. And I've always struggled with like, I find like one-on-one, I'm like a really intense person. And I think on social media, I kind of pull that back a lot just because I don't know. It's almost like I don't respect the medium enough to give it my true self. And so for me, it's always been hard to like be real and authentic on Instagram, but still then have like be my own person, have a personal life and like feel like, I think once you get into it, like it just doesn't reward things that like I respect. Like, if I put up a photo on Instagram of me skiing like a beautiful line or it's like a sick air, nobody cares.
Yeah.
I put up a photo of like my face smiling, it blows up. And I just like, it's frustrating. But like at the same time, I have to like also respect Instagram and that it has, social media has opened up so many doors in that like for the first time, I'm in control of my brand and my message and what goes out there. It's not up to some editor, some writer, some photo editor. Like, I'm in control of what people know of me. And so like, that's something that I think is so different for athletes now versus 10 years ago. And so there is totally an upside to that. And I think I've been able to manage the opportunities that come from social media more than like at first, like people are just like, oh, like post this thing and we'll give you a free water bottle. I'm like, I don't want a free water bottle.
Yeah, I got
but I also don't want to like have all my posts be like, someone paid me to say this, but been trying like this thing with Bank of the West, or I have something working with Gore-Tex where like it's going to be a campaign with Gore-Tex, but Gore-Tex isn't technically like one of my sponsors right now, but like it's going to be this cool thing that like we've worked really hard on, and it totally pertains to like what we're doing. But then versus like I just signed with Sierra Nevada Brewing and they're coming on as like a sponsor. And so like I see that as like they are supporting my endeavors as an athlete. Like if you sponsor me versus us doing like a social media campaign.
Right.
And it can look the same because it involves me promoting them and tagging them on Instagram. But it's still like a different.
It's different supporting principle. You and supporting a post. Yeah. Because they're not necessarily the same
thing. And like I don't want all my stuff on social media to be like someone paid me to do this. Like I want it still to be somewhere where I can communicate directly. And try to be authentic without
I was going to ask you if you felt like you wanted to get somebody to run your social for you, but it sounds like you like the fact that you control what's up there more than anything. And not that you wouldn't if somebody else was posting and stuff for you.
It would be like cool to have, I always kind of wish I had like a social media like guru that like maybe didn't do it for me, but I could like bounce ideas off and like, cause it's always, I mean, it's so stupid how much time I spend like, gosh, should I do this shot or should I caption this or is this, you know? And I like, it'd be cool to have like, like a guru to just like be my sounding board, which unfortunately usually Todd, my boyfriend, is that person and he does not give one F about it. You know, like he's like, the last thing, Amy, I want to do is talk about your Instagram.
Yeah. He does not seem like the kind of person that'd be like super into
that. Like he's just like, I have to do this for myself. Like I definitely don't want to like deal with your.
I don't want to harp on social media too much, but it is interesting. I think it's a good opportunity for a lot of athletes now, and it's a good opportunity for the ski industry because like ski industry is growing and it's expanding and it's changing in a way that's becoming a little more mainstream than it has been in the past, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the social thing and athletes connecting with their fan base helps a ton.
Well, and I also spend a lot of time like in my DMs talking about gear and answering questions about locations. Same. And like, I do find that like, I connect a lot with like people that actually ski and like really care about skiing.
Yeah.
And so, as frustrating as it can be, it's still like ultimately a positive thing. And like anything, I think it just demands a little respect and you can't get too wrapped up in it for sure.
Yeah. So speaking on the social thing, you have a podcast now.
I do.
You've had one for a little while.
Yeah.
How's it been going? What's that been
good.
Like?
Good. Well, it's so fun to be on someone else's podcast. It's not my podcast. It's been fun. So my podcast is called Long Underwear, and I do it in association with Warren Miller.
Okay.
And we are about to start season 4.
Okay.
So it's been really fun. Like, I didn't know Warren Miller. I was like having beers with one of the girls that works at Warren Miller, and she's like, God, you're so opinionated. You should have a podcast. I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And then she like sent me an email like a week later. She's like, no, actually we want to do a podcast. Like, can you do a podcast? And I was like, I don't know. Sure.
Yeah.
Screw it. I'll try it. Why not? And so we kind of call it like the DIY podcast because neither of us knew anything about podcasting or anything like that. And we just kind of went for it. And it's kind of a fun premise where we talk with skiers and snowboarders, but we don't talk about skiing or snowboarding. So, cause I think there's a lot of shows out there where we talk about our careers and stuff, which is really cool. But then it's also kind of fun to sit down with these athletes. And it's, I think I find myself as I'm super guilty of this, but all skiers, like we're so bad. Like we get in a room, all we talk about is skiing. And I know everybody I know that's in the ski industry has so many more interests and passions outside of skiing. Sure. So it's fun to just talk about that stuff. It's definitely like a lighthearted, casual conversation for sure. I would love to at some point turn it in a direction where maybe we start touching on some deeper, more personal topics. Yeah. But I think for the first few seasons while we were like learning what we were doing, we just kind of kept it fun, like a good, easy, quick listen as you're driving up to the mountain or something.
What's been the most difficult thing about doing it for you?
God, when you interview someone that doesn't want to talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, God, like,
it's really hard.
It's super hard to interview people that don't like to talk.
Like, why did you agree to do this? We could have done like something else.
Like when I had Sam Smoothie on my podcast, he's just such a ham. Yeah. And I didn't have to do anything. I just sat there and he just went for it. I don't even know where he was. Like, I always joke that he like beat me at my own podcast.
Yeah.
But I've had a couple episodes, I won't name any names, where I'm just like, I felt like I was their dentist, you know, like pulling their teeth, just like, I'm like, oh God, it's only been 20 minutes. Great. Yeah. So,
and you know what? Most of those people that are like that don't really feel like they're doing that in the moment. They feel like they're just having a chat, but they don't realize, I guess, that it's taking over, like, you know, that like the feelings that they have inside about doing this podcast kind of like come out in the conversation.
That's
in a way.
That's the hardest part for sure. I find the rest of it like pretty easy.
It's super easy. Once you get past that, but like the guest makes the show in a lot of cases because like you need that back and forth. You need a conversation. And that's what people are listening for, is like, people don't listen for just you or I or anybody, they listen because they, you know, they want to hear a conversation with opinions that they think matter.
Yeah, not like one word answers.
Yeah, not one word answers like cool and awesome. Like, how was your season? It was great. Good. Like, awesome. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah. But that's been like the majority of the time. It's been super fun. And
do you handle the promotional side of it at all? Or do you just do like, you're just like,
I mostly just handle like the planning and the recording,
okay.
And then I help promote a little bit, but Warren Miller takes care of a lot of the production aspects.
Cool.
So that's fun. And we kind of, the woman, Jessie Hackett, is kind of like my main producer on the show.
Yeah.
And she and I just like have a blast. And
that's awesome.
We'll see where it goes. I don't know. It's like a fun little like additive thing to be doing. And I think there's a lot of things that I've ended up doing because I've been thrown into them. Like so in college I studied, media management. I emphasized in producing and directing in live television. And I was always like a PA on shoots growing up with my dad. And one day someone was like, oh, the on-camera is like sick. Like, can you do it? And I'm like, oh, sure. Like, yeah. And so then that's like how I started doing on-camera work. And like, I was like, well, this is challenging, but I might try it. And then like, same thing with the podcast. Like, oh, shoot, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, okay, cool. Let's do it. Like last night I moderated a panel discussion at the Protect Our Winners event. And they called me a couple weeks ago. They're like, can you moderate a panel discussion? I was like, look, I have no idea, but I'll try. And I think just like trying those things that like, you know, I don't know what my aspirations are with my podcast other than like it's something cool to be doing. I think the conversations that people like hearing, and like for me personally, like it is a challenge. And so that's like fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of the other podcasts in this industry, I think, that are a little salty. Again, not naming names, that like there's so many out there now.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good thing. Like, I think every athlete that can talk should have one. Like, I think it's really fun. Like, it's like an extension of your social and in a longer form, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, people get to know you, and I'm sure you've kind of got this. Like, people that listen to you talk feel like they know you better because they've listened to you talk on a mic for
a while. It's funny. It's like changed. So like, you know, it was really cool at some point after like a few Warren Miller films where I like started getting like recognized.
Yeah.
I was like, really? You know me? That's so weird. And then once in a while I'd start getting like, one of my favorite call-outs is this chick was in line at Snowbird and she's like, oh my God, are you Amy Ingebretson? I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, you have the coolest dog ever. I follow you on Instagram. I was like, oh my God, I love this. And so, but now I'd say like most of like the call-outs I get, like when I'm on tour with Warren Miller, like out skiing, people will be like, oh, I listen to Long Underwear. Like, it's so great. Thank you so much for making that. And like, I think that's like really cool when you find out, like, I'm sure you have people too, like hitting you up, like, this is awesome. And we get a lot of good feedback on it. So
yeah, no, people definitely get pretty homey with you for sure. Like, and it's like, and sometimes I'm just like, we're going to keep you in the general side of the DMs and we're going to like really make you like kind of put you off a little bit because like, you've definitely listened to a couple too many in a row and you're feeling like you're just like a little too close. But, and that's a nice thing too, though, like, because like you feel like you're doing it for a reason, I guess.
I have thought though, maybe I should start doing some like vocal coaching because I have kind of like a high nasally voice, which I don't think is like good for like vocal work. So like the fact that I host like a vocal based platform,
I think you sound great.
I need to like tone it down a little.
No,
maybe.
I think this is great. I think people like that it's authentic. I mean, right? Like that's got to
like,
be part
I just,
of it.
Let's say I just don't think I have a voice for radio.
Well, I don't know what that means necessarily, but I think you're doing great. I think it sounds awesome.
Thank you.
I don't think it's a problem. So talk a little bit about working with Warren Miller. What's that been like? I mean, that's gotta be awesome.
It is. The first time I got the chance to work with Warren Miller, like that was one of my major goals in my ski career, was to work with Warren Miller and also to film in Alaska. And the first time I worked with, Warren Miller ticked off both those boxes
right away.
So it was so cool. It was like a dream trip and I was with McKenna Peterson and Lexi DuPont and we were in Alaska and, that was 6 years ago. And going into this year, I'll be filming my sixth Warren Miller movie.
Wow.
And it's really cool. Like the process of making a ski film is hard and challenging, but also really fun. Like with Warren Miller, I've gotten to go to really amazing places and you get to go to really amazing places like in Uber style. Like when I was in Iceland with them 2 years ago, I mean, God, I was just on this trip and it was like, I was living in real life, like the Warren Miller segments I would like watch as a kid. And I'm just like the whole time I'm like, you better enjoy this because it is never going to be this good again. Like, it was just like amazing. You know, we had stayed in this beautiful place and we had our private helicopter and like between runs, we'd like land on beaches with waterfalls to like eat sandwiches next to. Like it was amazing. And Warren Miller, you know, like the movie itself is a little bit outside of like the core movies that I like go back to and watch over and over again. Right. But the amount of people that identify with the tradition of Warren Miller is insane.
It's nuts.
And so to go out, like I go on tour every fall, like this year I went to 26 shows. And just here in Denver, for example, I think it was 11,000 people came to the movie just here in Denver.
That's fucking nuts.
And so like to see that many people, and it's like a generational thing, you know, like they've been coming to that movie their whole lives, just like I have. And, you know, to be part of someone's basically winter tradition is really cool. And I find that everyone on the Warren Miller team is crazy professional and crazy passionate about what they do. And like, it does open up these like pretty cool fairy tale. Like when you roll up somewhere with Warren Miller, like they roll out the red carpet and they take good care of you and do what they can to help you to get a good segment. And it is fun to, you know, watch those movies in the fall. Like I think it's still super surreal when you see those movies like up on a big screen in front of thousands of people. Like one of the biggest shows we do is in Seattle at McCall Hall, and it's usually like 2,500 people like in the theater.
That's crazy.
And it's just like the screen's huge. And
isn't it crazy to think that like skiing brings that many people out to like go watch like preseason?
It's crazy. But like Warren Miller, it's like a religion to a lot of people.
It is.
It's like totally a tradition. Like it's like Warren Miller premiere, Thanksgiving, Christmas, like it's like a thing. And so and we see so many of the kids, you know, and like I remember being that kid and it's just like, it's really, really, really cool.
I think it's super important. Like, I think for something like that to exist is huge because like you said, like the kids are the ones that go there and they watch it and they're like, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go skiing. Like, I want to have fun. Like, look at, and I think Warren Miller as a series has always done a really good job kind of showing the fun aspect of it and like showing how cool it all can be without being too like hardcore bro-y.
They don't really like dive into like the hardcore parts of like the, you know, on the verge of death and all the drama stories. And I think what's like with Warren Miller, like it is the same recipe. It is the same movie over and over again, essentially, but like that's what people like.
Yeah.
Like that's what people love about it. And the, you know, the ingredients change slightly, but it's always the same recipe and like people can really rely on it. Like it's kind of like the genius of like Starbucks. Like you can go get your mocha frappuccino at any Starbucks and it's always going to taste the same. Like people like that in a way, you know? And I think that that's what Warren Miller does a really good job of like staying true to themselves over the years. And like, that's what keeps their fan base just like crazy strong.
Yeah. If it's not broken, don't fix it. It seems like the numbers are good every year. So
it's funny, like I'll be with Todd somewhere and you know, someone will be like the dreaded question, what do? And then you're like, oh, shit, do I make something up or do I tell him I'm a professional skier? And then I have to talk to the stranger for a while. So sometimes you'll say, you know, professional skier, oh, and then they'll be like, yeah, like I'm in the TGR movies. And someone will be like, oh, I don't know what that is. And they'll be like, oh, have you ever heard of Warren Miller? And they'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be weird too, is just being like, I am a professional skier and then having to have that conversation.
Well, because then people like it's cool to share like a different story with someone, but sometimes like you don't always have time to get into like a super in-depth conversation with like a stranger and then they think you're in the Olympics and you're like, no.
Or it goes the other way and it like turns into like, oh yeah, I used to ski professionally for Hart skis in 1985. Like
I forget who we were with recently, but we were like kind of talking about how like, cause that's like, I almost find that like an annoying question that like everybody always asks like top three questions when you meet someone, they ask you, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like for work. And I don't know why that's such like a defining thing, but so it usually comes up a lot and I forget who we were with, but like it was myself and Todd and we were just kind of talking about like how we answer that question. Like sometimes you say like, oh, like I'm in the ski industry, like in marketing.
Yeah.
And like sometimes you can get away with that, but then some people, sometimes they like keep asking questions and then finally you have to be like, well, I'm like a professional skier. Sometimes I just like, I think lately I've been more of the mind of just owning it. Like I'm a professional skier.
Yeah.
You get three questions.
Yeah, that is all I have for you right now. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just don't have
really
that time.
It's really fun, too, to, like, talk about it with people because they're, like, honestly, genuinely interested.
When people are psyched, it's like, it's hard to be, like,
it would be, like, if I met someone that was, like, a professional musician or something. Yeah. I'd, like, be really impressed and I'd want to know more and I'd want to know what that means, what that looks like and, like, what famous people they've, like, met, you know? Like, I have to, like, remember that side of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's super important. You mentioned working with a bunch, like working with brands to kind of make like product decisions and like how involved with you with those brands are you and how important is it to you to kind of have some feedback in whatever the company's doing?
Yeah, well, I would say I'm most involved with product development with Spyder and with K2. And with Spyder over the past few years, we've been working to build a new sector of the brand called the Spider-Free Ski line.
Yep.
And that what they're trying to do is kind of like bring basically the free ski and the free ride element back into the brand. You know, they're super strong in the Alpine environment. But they used to be a really key player in the free ride environment. Like C.R. Johnson was sponsored by Spider. Yeah. Shane McConkey was sponsored by Spider. Like, and so I think what they, the motivation behind the line is to kind of unify a community.
Yeah.
And so they've signed a bunch of great athletes. And when I started with Spider, like I thought their women's product was just, I mean, it was significantly subpar to the men's product. The sizing was way off. Like there's all these things. And like, I went in there and I was like, look, this has got to change. And it was really cool. Spider was like crazy receptive and it's super involved, like many meetings, emails, phone calls, Skype calls. We had some focus groups where like just kind of tearing apart like everything from like sizing to performance to fabrics. You know, I've been really adamant about challenging Spider to make a women's option in the same level of product from like a fabric standpoint as the men's line.
Yeah.
I think that's really important to it at least have that. I know not all women are going to buy a $900, you know, engineered Gore-Tex jacket, but to have that option just so that you're not like fundamentally saying like, oh, men deserve to be drier than women. Like that's crap, you know?
It is. And it's also not true that men buy it because men wait until it's on closeout, I think more often than anything. So they're not paying retail for it either. So, like,
but even if they are these aspirational pieces, it's been really cool. Like I have like worked with the design team super closely where like I go into the office and I bring every single thing I'd have with me for a day of like filming. And I show them exactly how I layer and what I'm putting in every pocket and how I access my backpack and where I put my radio and where I want to put my beacon and kind of just engineering everything so that like, you know, men's product has been looked at that way for a long time. There's still not that many brands for women that are like considering like that, you know, they still, there's still this like principle like, oh, less pockets is more slimming. I have all the same crap with me out in the backcountry that a man does. Like, I need all the same stuff. So I need places to put it and access it and have safety concerns, keep things far apart from each other, electronics and stuff like that. And so, plus like, what we're doing at Spider is we're still trying to make it still stuff that like I'm feminine. I love to look good. That's important to me. And so to have that balance of like a kit that like looks good, fits good, is like fashionable and fun, but still like 100% functional. And like, it's been the line, my outfit is the Solitaire kit, in the Free Ski line. And it came out this year. Like it's in the stores right now. And that took like 3 years to come into actuality. But it was really cool this year because in like all the magazines, it like won all the tests, all the gear reviews, like all this stuff. It's been really fun. So now we're like working on like the third and fourth generations of that and kind of making some tweaks and changes and, you know, rounding out the layering pieces that go along with it. And we're integrating the high end engineered Gore-Tex fabric into the line in the future. So like it's a never ending thing, but just to like get the first iteration of it to life was like 3 years.
That's so crazy.
It is crazy. And like, and with K2, I've been really involved with their ski development as well. Yeah. And they definitely, have a strong message of female specific products. So they try to use us as much as possible in kind of everything from product testing to like brainstorming what kind of test ski you want to like graphics to names to all that stuff. We're really involved in and hoping to get more involved in that in the future for sure.
Yeah. And your mind, what do you ski mostly? Mindbender?
Yep. I'm on the Mindbender primarily. I ski the men's and the women's skis on the K2 line, just kind of depending on what the situation is.
Yeah.
But the Mindbender 115 is kind of the main ski that I've been the most involved with. It's in the line right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're already working on new stuff and developing new things. And K2 has been doing that for a really long time. So I feel like I'm stepping into a legacy that like other women like Kim Rycom kind of started. Wherein at Spider, I felt like I really had to go in there and make a ruckus.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. They like really listened, you know, all the way up to the CEO, Nick.
Yeah.
He heard me and supported me. And what we have now is like an amazing women's big mountain kit.
It looks way better.
That's
I
like,
will say like
it's winning awards. People want to wear it. It looks good. Like you have that technical. And it, to me, like it's crazy rewarding. Like it's like even this year, like going through the magazines, you know, I'm always psyched when like I get a photo published.
Yeah.
But to like see like my name associated with the product and have it like be an editor's choice or something like that was almost like more exciting than like one of the powder issues of powder I had. an ad, which is always awesome.
Yeah.
Then my solitaire kit won Skier's Choice, and it had like a blurb about how I had worked on it. And then I had a profile, my first profile in the magazine. And I was just like, yes, favorite issue of a magazine ever. But it was definitely having the design stuff in there was huge.
Yeah, that's got to be awesome.
But I also, I'm in the stuff the most. I test it the hardest. Yeah. I should be contributing what I know. I'm not saying I'm, have a design eye. I definitely rely really heavily on the designers at Spider. But, I tell them what I need and what I want. And, they use their amazing design skills to, bring it to life.
Right. Yeah. You kind of figure out what works for you.
But I'm not a fashion designer. Yeah. Let's be clear about that.
Well, awesome. Thank you for doing this. Let people know where they can find you on social media. If you have any sponsors you want to talk about, feel free. And I know we talked about a couple already, but feel free. This is your plug.
Yeah. If you guys want to follow along, my Instagram is Amy Ski, AMIE Ski. And you can find everything there. And if you want to check out another podcast, Skiers, Long Underwear. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. And then, I always want to thank my wonderful sponsors, Spider, K2, Scott, newly Sierra Nevada Brewing.
Nice.
Love beer. Apparently, I'm one of the last skier girls that still drinks beer. Yeah. So I got that going for me.
Is that a real thing? No way.
They did mention that, I think, yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of popular for people to be super healthy now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not healthy. I still work out and all this stuff. But I also think you should just life is about balance.
Yeah, for sure.
And beer's freaking awesome. Yeah. So it's part of that. And so I really love, and Sierra Nevada is such a cool company. They have a crazy, amazing commitment to sustainability that I really respect. So, right. Beer's good. You guys drink some beer. Be healthy, work out, eat your vegetables, but also have a beer or two.
Yeah, have a little fun too.
Well, so on that note.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right, episode 90 is in the bag. Thank you, Amy, for coming on the show. I had a great time talking with you. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I really did. If you have questions about the show, if you have ways that you think we can make the show better, feel free to email me or DM me. DM obviously is at Out of Podcast. You can email me adam@outofpodcast.com. Leave us a review on iTunes if you get the chance. 5 stars, please. And let us know why you like the show. I love reading the reviews. That's great for us. It's great for morale too. We keep going, keep plugging away. We will be skiing Cannon Mountain on Wednesday of this week. Maybe Thursday too. So let me know if you guys have any interest in coming to Ski Cannon. Come hang out. Come ski. Make some laps. We'll make some turns. It will be a good time. I'm going to go ride my bike for now. I hope everybody... Oh yeah, quick. Thank you to Sawa Champ for sponsoring this episode of the show. Thank you to Fubuki Boots for sponsoring this episode of the show. I appreciate you guys so, so much. I'm just excited to go ride my bike, which I can't believe I'm saying in February, but it's super dry in Western Mass, and the trails are good. So I'm going to go ride. Talk to you guys later, probably Thursday. New episode. See ya. Bye.